The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning again, everybody. Father, we come in the name of Jesus and we ask that you breathe upon us, Father. Open our eyes to see as we ought to see. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Lord, we pray that there will be an entrance of your word today in the mighty name of Jesus. Honor and glory we give unto you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, I want you to look at your neighbor and say to them, it's a new day. Now, I want you to do that again and try and get comfortable with it. And just say to your neighbor, don't change your neighbor necessarily, just say to that neighbor, it's a new day. And say it again, it's a new day. I'm sure they are saying it back to you. It is a new day. Like with many things with God, we err many times because we do not understand the gap we see in this time and in our generation is not a knowledge gap. In fact, information, they say, is doubling at an alarming rate. It used to take 100 years for information to double. Then it took 50 years for information to double. Then it took 10 years for information to double. Then it took a year. I think by the time I get to the 90s, it took a year for the information to double, and we were like, oh wow, oh wow, oh wow. By the time we got into the millennium, it took a month for information to double. Guess what? Right now, in less than a day, information is doubling. Information is doubling. Information is doubling. Doubling. And doubling. Now, and we are bombarded with content. We are bombarded everywhere we go. We open our phones, we open our TVs, we open our laptops, or we just look up on a billboard. We are being bombarded with information and knowledge and information. So the challenge of our generation is not an information gap. It's not an information gap. We know more than almost any generation that lived before us. We are not lacking in knowledge. Even our children, they know far more than us. You know, you think you know more than them. You are kidding. They know a lot more than you think they know. So the challenge we have, the gap of our generation, since it's not a knowledge gap, so Pastor, what is it? The gap is an understanding gap. It's an understanding gap. Most people cannot link together the information that is before them. Jesus would say, even in his time, you don't understand the signs of the times. It's like there's a writing on the wall. You are reading the writing, mene, mene, tekel, oprosin, but you don't have an understanding of what it means. If you look at world events, the things that are happening today, the situation starting from 2020, you know, we were told as a church, I mean, I was praying and I was asking the Lord, what's the word for 2020? What's the word for 2020? And the Lord was saying to me, this is the word for 2020. However, don't look at the year. Look at the decade. And I was like, okay. And he said, it is going to be a decade of destiny. And we announced it. And boom, the event, COVID came. The health of nations attacked. COVID is still on. Guess what? The wealth of nations is being attacked. A lot of things are happening. And in pressing into God, he's saying that this is like the beginning of reordering. It's a beginning of reordering. So how do we position if we do not understand? Understanding is key. Understanding is key. So we are reading headlines. Oh, Russia invades Ukraine. US is spending trillions of dollars funding that war. China is moving close to Taiwan. You know, what's going on? We have this information. Criminals are being presidents. We have this information. What does it mean? I'm praying that God, the God of heaven, will give us understanding in the name of Jesus. I mean, like we saw at Thrive on Wednesday, that Daniel, when he was confronted with the things that are to be, he was perplexed because he really didn't understand them. And of course, he sought understanding. God doesn't want you to be in the dark. God wants you to have understanding, and by His Spirit, He will give you understanding in the name of Jesus. Understanding is so, so powerful. Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, when he caught up by the Holy Spirit, caught up with the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian eunuch said, I don't. Now, this man was reading the scriptures. Even though he didn't understand, he kept on reading. And that's sometimes okay, you know, because when you stay at it, God will send you help. You know, that's sometimes okay. And there are many people, we are consuming information, but we really don't understand. Things are unfolding around us, but we really don't understand. Now, here is what separates this man from a lot of people. When Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man said, "I don't. How can I? No one is here to explain to me." The difference between a man and a lot of people is that they don't understand, but they pretend like they understand. And sometimes, to make it worse, because if you are pretending to understand, that means you know you do not, but you just want to make yourself look good. However, to make it worse, sometimes some people actually do not understand, but they think they understand. You see, so as far as they know, they understand. And if that's the problem, if that's the case, there's a big problem. The Ethiopian eunuch could see that he didn't understand. I pray that God will make you see as you ought to see in the name of Jesus, and that God will give you understanding in the name of Jesus. The man owned up. Even as we were talking about knowledge doubling, people don't understand. So people in their minds are like, "What's he talking about? I understand what's going on. Arrogance blocks understanding. This man said, "I don't understand." Daniel was sick. I think the scripture says for days. He was sick. Why was he sick? Because of the hunger to understand. It was too much for him. You cannot be shallow, just glossing over information, glossing over knowledge, acquiring knowledge, but lacking depth of understanding. You will have understanding in the name of Jesus. So the Ethiopian, you know, said, "I don't understand it." And then he got understanding. God will give you the grace to position yourself for understanding in the name of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus, the series we just concluded on, don't bite that bait. Our anchor text was, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they were like, oh, it must be talking about bread. Is it because we did not bring bread? You know, can you see that? So they had information, they heard from God, they heard Jesus' word, but they reached a wrong conclusion. Why? Because they lacked understanding. I pray for you again. You will not lack understanding in the name of Jesus. You will not reach a wrong conclusion in the mighty name of Jesus. How many homes have been under pressure because husband said something, wife reached a wrong conclusion because she thought she understood it, and it became a problem. Parents and children, bosses and staff, understanding is key. And Jesus had to explain to them that, come on, I fed 5,000, you were there. I fed 4,000, you were there. How come you don't understand that? I'm not talking about lack of bread. I'm talking about something different. Many times, God is talking about something different. Yes, you heard from God. Yes, God showed you that vision. Yes, you had that dream, and it is from God. However, do you understand it? Are you assuming the meaning? Are you assuming the interpretation? God has sent me to you today. Seek proper understanding. Seek proper understanding. As we declare, and we have declared by the Spirit of the Lord, that it's a new day. Do you understand it? It's a new day. Do you really understand it? I pray that you do and you will in the name of Jesus, because it's a new day. It's a new day. I'm going to unpack it a bit, you know, and trust that the Lord will give us understanding. It's a new day. Why would God say it's a new day at the beginning of the final quarter of the year? It's the 1st of October. It's the beginning of the final quarter of the year, and he's saying it's a new day. Why will he say that? Why will he say that? Is he not aware of the calendar? What? No. First things first. God really doesn't go by the human calendar. I hope you know that. At least not the calendar we have today, you know. However, he works with us regardless. Now, to really understand this, if you check from scripture, you would see Genesis from chapter 1. You would see it say, and the evening and the morning was the first day. And the evening and the morning was the second day. And the evening and the morning was the third day. No, listen. For us, the Western mindset, and the morning and the evening, then the first day. That's how we count our days. Our days are counted morning, then evening, then first day. Then morning, then evening, then second day. But the Jews don't count their days like that. It is the evening and the morning, the first day. The evening and the morning, the second day. So that's why you will see several scriptures. I mean, one, for instance, would say, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That is, in the full day, night can come with weeping, but the day is not over because morning is coming. And there are some of us, you've been weeping. Listen, your day is not over because morning is coming in the name of Jesus. And morning has come. Hallelujah. Oh, it's big. And the evening and the morning, the first day. So, in the way God works is that wilderness comes before promised land. Darkness comes before light. If you have experienced darkness, guess what? Light is coming. In fact, light has come. Hallelujah. Evening and morning, the first day. Now, have you noticed that even in the day that we reckon with, the day starts when it is dark? If you look at 12 midnight, when you switch, 12:01 is a new day, right? But in most climes, 12 and most countries, 12 midnight, 12:01, it is still dark. It is still dark. If you see the sun at full blast at 12 midnight, you know that maybe it's rapture. Maybe rapture has happened or is happening. 12 midnight is dark. 12:01 is still dark. But guess what? 12:01 is a new day. But you can look outside and it's still dark. But it is a new day. You can look at the car park, at the garage, but it's still dark. But it is a new day. It is a new day. So what am I saying? What does that mean? It means, in essence, that when there's a prophetic declaration that it is a new day, it is actually a new day. But you can look at the curtain of that situation and it's still dark. It's still a new day. It doesn't look like it yet. You can check, open the windows of maybe it's concerning marriage. You look at the window, it's still dark. But God is saying, it's a new day. It is a new day. It is actually a new day. It is actually a new day. If you wait and prepare as though it's a new day, by the time the dawn breaks, by the time the light comes, boom, you are ready. You are ready. However, if you don't embrace the fact that it's a new day, you don't position yourself, you don't prepare for the day, you don't rest well, take a quick shower, have your teeth brushed, your clothes ready, by the time the day breaks, you are not ready. The break of the day, the appearing of the sun, is not the beginning of the day. The beginning of the day is when it is declared that it's a new day. Hallelujah. So because it's a new day, you need to realize that God expects you to begin to make progress, to begin to make progress in that day, even if it is still dark. Elijah said to Ahab, run so that the rain does not stop you. He saw a cloud like the hand of a man. It was not raining, or crying out loud. There was the dark, the clouds was not even gathered. But he said, run. And that is how the word of God is. Prepare. Because the day has broken. It's a new day for you. In the name of Jesus, prepare. The first thing about day is vision. You need to begin. And when I say vision, yes, physical vision. But mental vision, spiritual vision. You need to begin to think about your day. You know, if you are the list kind of person, you can write your to-do list for the day. You are envisioning the day. You are seeing. And of course, the statistics of those that prepare for the day before the dawn shows that they are extremely more productive than those that, oh, it's dawn, then they start thinking about the day. Those that prepare for the day while it is dark, that have a list, that have a project, that have project items, that have, that this is how I, this is how the day will go, this is how the day will go, that by the time the day happens, or the light comes, boom, they hit the ground running. So the concept of night vision is so powerful. It's so powerful. It's a new day. You need to develop night vision. You need to develop night vision. Literally. I mean, if you remember the Gulf War, you know, I'm a student of spiritual warfare, of course, physical warfare, you know, modern warfare, ancient warfare, oriental wars and stuff. The Gulf War was modern warfare. The game changer, one of the game changers, actually. Now, I'm not here to say that it was a war that should have been fought or the political side of the war. Mm-mm, take your mind off that. I'm just analyzing the war, okay? Technically. The game changer is, one of the game changers was the night vision. The US Army had night vision goggles. So they could advance at night. They could make progress at night while the opposing forces could not really do much once it is dark. The Allied forces could advance because they had night visions. They could take buildings, they could take territories. Why? Because while the opposition is still looking for its torchlight or its lantern or, you know, or some form of light, they are night vision, they can take the territory. What is God saying? You need to start seeing in the dark. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to start seeing even when it appears dark. Visioning is so powerful. Even when it appears dark, you need to see. You need to see. You need to see. Job 33, from verse 15 to 18, Job 33, 15 to 18 says, he speaks in dreams, in visions of the night. Night visions, you see, so night visions was not created by the US Army. Visions of the night. When deep sleep falls on people. So inadvertently, when God gives you dreams, for those that dream, as in sleep to dream, you know, it's a way of giving you a vision in the night. As they lie in their beds, he whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. Warnings. When you have that vision, you see the traps that they are setting for you. You can hear the warnings. The warnings when you have night vision. It makes them turn from doing wrong. When you have night vision, God warns you. You want to take a pen that is not yours. At night vision, they say to you, don't take the pen. Don't take the pen. It keeps them from pride. So you are wealthier than your brother or your sister. God is saying to you, no, 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 no. What you have was given to you. Don't elevate yourself. Don't be arrogant. Don't be proud. It is only the Holy Spirit that can really make a man humble. When you have night vision, arrogance is far away from you. It protects them from the grave. God will protect you from the grave. God will protect you from the grave. If you have night vision, God will give you insight to dodge. You know, I know someone that dodged something that was coming for him, and he was upset, he was crying because he had a lot of losses and stuff. And a wise man said to him that, you are crying because of the losses. In other words, the death that wants to cut off your head but took off your cap, you should be grateful. You are crying. So the death is coming. You saw it. It's coming for your head. You dodged it, but it took off your cap. But you still have a head. You can buy 10 billion caps. You should be grateful. Night vision protects from the grave. It protects from crossing over the river of death. There are people, they're just going over the river of death. Night vision will protect you. So it's a new day. In fact, they tell us that the deepest sleep happens between 12 and 3, they say. So it means that even those that don't dream, at least you are at rest. At least you are preparing for the new day. For those that stay up to engage and envision, you are positioning. You are positioning. And night vision will keep you from crossing over to death. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will see at night. Even when it is dark in that situation, you will see. In whatever area of your life that is dark right now, even though it's a new day, but it's still dark, you will see. You will see clearly in the mighty name of Jesus. Vision and purpose is so powerful. So powerful. I remember the Korean War, again, using a lot of analogies from warfare. The Korean War was a form of modern warfare, had some elements of guerrilla warfare in it. The Korean War, the prisoners of war, they separated them into two camps. And this is very interesting, very, very interesting. Stay with me. They had two types of prisons. They had a maximum security prison. Then they had a minimum security prison. The maximum security prison, now this is very interesting. How do they determine where to place a captive, a prisoner of war? They analyze them. They do a psychological profiling. They interview them. So they ask them questions like, okay, after the war, if we set you free now, what do you want to do with your life? Guess what? A lot of the soldiers, because they've seen war, they've seen death, they are battered. A lot of them just said, I just want peace. I want peace. And if you ask them, do you want a piece of cake? You know, a piece of coconut? Do you want a piece of what? Oh, I want peace of mind. I just want peace. Oh, I just want to be with my family. So those ones, they put them in minimum security prison. They said, read about it. They said that when the soldiers they interviewed that were filled with purpose, that were filled with a sense of sovereignty, and that were filled with a sense of patriotism, they put them in the maximum security. And they said that when soldiers have a vision, they are dangerous. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? The enemy just wants people that, oh, let me just have a good life. Let me just, you know, be able to eat and drink because I've seen a lot of challenges in this life. Let me just be able to, you know, take care of my children, you know, and, you know, just have a decent life, you know. That's what the enemy wants. It puts them in minimum security prison. And of course, there are a whole lot more. They put those that have vision, purpose, in maximum security, guarded with the highest level of, you know, security. Guess what? The report also shows that the people in the minimum security, a lot of them die of depression, anxiety, disease, interestingly. And most of the people in the maximum security in the Korean War, a lot of them escaped. A lot of them escaped, even in spite of the security. In the minimum security prison, less security, none of them escaped. Dying of depression, anxiety, PTSD, you know, trauma. These other ones were escaping. They were breaking out and breaking out. Isn't that how it is? These ones can see already. This may be a prison, but it's a new day. I'm going to break out of it. I'm going to break out of it. I'm going to break out of it. These other ones are like wishing and hoping that they will be handed freedom, because everyone in there were hoping after the interview that maybe one day they will set us free. We'll be able to go home. Oh, and they'll be waiting and waiting. Meanwhile, the other side felt, if I'm going to be free, it's up to me. If I'm going to be free, it's in my hand. I need to break out of this prison because it's a new day. Vision. Vision. Very powerful. And the way God operates and works with us is that God daily loads us with benefits. God daily, daily, Psalm 68, verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Let's pause there a bit. Now, this is so, so powerful. I never recover from this scripture. It's so, 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 so powerful. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us. When we say it's a new day, sometimes some people are like, oh, yesterday, oh, what makes it a new day? Oh, this and that. Listen, the way God works is that yesterday is gone. God doesn't dwell in yesterday. It is so powerful. Every day, it doesn't just give us benefits. If it gives us benefits, that's amazing. If he gives us some benefits, oh, that's so beautiful. He doesn't just do that. He loads us. To load means to pad and to give until he's running over. To load and to load. So every day, if you cannot sit down and see God's loaded benefits, something is wrong. Because God daily loads us with benefits. So you should wake up every day expecting your load of benefits. Hallelujah. Beginning from now, when you wake up, it's a new day. It's a new day means that you are expecting God to load you with benefits, and God will load you with benefits. Because he's not a man that he should lie. He daily loads us with benefits. Your load for today, you will receive in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Lord, our salvation, our God, is the God of salvation. And to God, the Lord belongs, escapes from death. In other words, this loaded benefits does not include death. This loaded benefits takes you away from death. Everything that represents death in your life, God's loaded benefit will separate you completely from it in the mighty name of Jesus. The NKJV says in verse 21, continues as we continue, says, but God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his transgressions. So every one of your enemies, God will wound their heads in the name of Jesus, because your enemies are his enemies, because you are his child. His hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his transgression. Verse 19, the voice translation says, blessed be the Lord who carries our heavy loads every day. How often does God carry our heavy load every day? Now, listen, God doesn't just load us with benefits. He carries the load we have been carrying that is not beneficial. Hallelujah. So God does not just load us with benefit. He takes away the one that you are carrying that is not beneficial. So it is like a two-edged sword. So when God comes with his load of benefits, now his own load is beneficial. When he comes with his load of benefits, it takes our load that is unbeneficial. It says, who carries our heavy loads every day? The true God who is our salvation. Hallelujah. The NLT says, praise the Lord. Praise God our Savior. For each day he carries us in his arms. So if you bring the three together. So each day, God loads us with benefits. He takes away our heavy load, our own load that is not beneficial. Then he carries us in his hands, beginning from today, because it's a new day. Heaven will load you with benefit. As he's loading you with benefit, he will take away your heavy load and heavy burdens. And as he's doing that, he will carry you in his hands. It's a new day. Heaven will carry you in his hands, loading you with benefit and removing every heavy load upon you. And so it is and shall be, in Jesus' mighty name. So now we see that God daily loads us with benefits. That's why, you know, Jeremiah would say, even in the midst of lamentation, the Jeremiah would say, right in the midst of darkness, of lamentation, in Lamentations 3:22, he says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion does not fail. It says, they are new are often every morning. Great is his faithfulness. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So steadfast love, steadfast. What else? Steadfast means unchanging. Unchanging. It's not going to change. It hasn't changed for billions of years. It's not going to change now. It's not going to change. Firmly fixed in place. It's immovable. It's not subject to change. Another translation puts it this way: the faithful love of the Lord never ends, never ends. His mercies never ceases. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Hallelujah. Woo! So you see why you can't run out of God's mercy? Because each morning it begins again. It refreshes. It reboots. You know, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And that's why it's a new day. It's a new day signifies fresh mercies of God. A new day signifies new compassion. The Good News translation puts it this way. The lot of failing love and mercy still continues. Hallelujah. It still continues in your life. The Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continues. Fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise, it still continues. No matter what you're facing, heaven is saying to you, it's a new day. It's a new day. As we take communion today, release your faith. Believe God. It's a new day. You are partaking of that new covenant, being released into the newness of the day. As we face and embrace the final quarter of 2023, it's a new day. I want to pray with you. If you're like, Pastor, pray with me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to come to God. Can you pray with me? Or I used to be with Jesus, but can you pray with me? I want to rededicate my life to Him. If that is you, wherever you are, we want to pray with you. That is you. Put up your hand now over your head. Even if you are online, do that and let us know in the chat room. Put up your hand over your head, wherever you are. I'm going to turn it over to the RP.